You've no idea how many of you there are. It's a little bit frightening. You look out at you. I am a little bit nervous this morning, so I ask you to bear with me and pray for me. But I want to tell you I'm very thankful for the opportunity to share with you what Jesus Christ means to me and what he has done for me. I was born in western Kansas, raised on a farm there. I was a farm girl. I spent my early childhood riding horses and driving tractors, and I was a tomboy. I loved to run, I loved to play, and I had a happy childhood on a farm there. When I went to high school, I joined the debate club, and there I met a young man named Larry Schlotfeld. And this young man, when he found out that I was a Christian, he decided that I was the one that he was to marry. After I graduated from high school, I went to Denver, and I attended business college there. And then when I got out of business college, I got a job in the FBI as a stenographer. And Larry and I were married then, that summer. We lived in Denver for a year. I worked in the FBI, and he attended Denver University. Then I decided that I would like to go back to school too, back to the university, and I thought both Larry and I could become teachers. This is what we would be. We'd both be teachers. This way we would have our summers free. We could travel. We liked to travel. We wanted to enjoy the world and see what God had made. And so we decided this is what we would do. We would, if I had children, then I could have my evenings free to be with them. I would have the same hours as they would have. We would get a good salary between the two of us, and I thought this was an ideal arrangement. Well, we had it all figured out. We had our plans all set and all made. So we went to Lawrence, Kansas, to attend the University of Kansas. We attended one semester, and we went home to western Kansas for our Christmas holiday. New Year's Day, we decided to come to Colorado Springs. My sister lives here, and so we decided we would like to spend New Year's Day with her. So my family, my father, my mother, my brother, and Larry and I got up very early in the morning on the farm, and we got in the car and started for Colorado Springs. We got as far as Cheyenne Wells, Colorado, and there we met the first car we had seen that morning. And this was a young man who was going home from his New Year's Eve party, and he was drunk. He came over onto our side of the road, and my father whipped the wheel, drove into the ditch to try to avoid the other car. But he caught the back end of our car, and we went over. I was asleep at the time of the wreck. It was about 5 o'clock in the morning, and so I was resting. And I awoke, then lying partially out of the back of the car. And Larry was kneeling down at my head, and he said, "Don't move, Vanita." And I thought about it, and I thought, "But I can't move." And I thought, I can't feel my legs. I can't feel my arms. I couldn't feel anything but my head. And that was all I could move, was my head to look around. And I thought, "I'm crushed." And I thought, "I'm dying." And I panicked. And when I panicked, I began to cry to Jesus for help. And my father stepped over. He had been driving, as I said, and he stepped over to me, and he just put his hand on me, and he prayed for me. Just a very short, simple prayer, but do you know a peace came into my heart? It's unbelievable unless you've had it happen to you. Just this peace that came over me, and it was like I heard a voice that said to me, not to worry, that my mother would live and that I would be normal again. Well, I didn't know it at the time, but my mother was dying. And when they got us to the hospital, the doctors told us that she had 40% of a chance to live. And afterwards they told us, "We said that to break the news to you because we didn't think she had a prayer." Well, my mother is now on the farm in western Kansas, and she's working just as hard as ever. She's perfectly healthy. I was in that little hospital in Cheyenne Wells, Colorado for 7 days. And then the doctor said, "We think your condition is stabilized enough. We want to fly you to a medical center. You can choose either Denver or Kansas City." Well, I chose Kansas City because Larry was going back to the university in Lawrence, and that way he could be near me to visit me. They flew me there, and the doctors examined me there, and they told me that my neck was broken, high up at the 5th and 6th cervicals in my neck. They told me that when the vertebra had broken, The bones had gone into the spinal cord. And they said, we hope that if we operate, we can remove the bones and remove the pressure from the spinal cord, and perhaps you will regain your feeling. So they did an operation, a four-hour operation with a local anesthesia on my neck. And after the operation was over, they talked to my husband, and they said, we're sorry, but the spinal cord has been cut. The bones have cut into the spinal cord. And they told him that when the spinal cord is cut that high, it does not heal. And they said, your wife will be paralyzed for the rest of her life. Well, as you can imagine, that's quite a blow to take. My husband was 19 years old at the time of the car wreck. We weren't very old. We thought we had our whole life ahead of us. Everything was just perfect. We had it all planned. And suddenly the bottom fell out of everything. Well, I was in the hospital for about 6 months, and I was in traction on a striker frame for quite a long time. I don't know if any of you are familiar with a striker frame. It's just kind of a canvas sandwich is what it really is. You lie on your back on this canvas with a rim around it, and when it comes time to turn you, because you are completely helpless, they put a canvas top on you, which they strap down, and it has just a place for your eyes and your face, which you can see, and then they just flip you like a great sandwich, and for a while then you lie on your face. And then they put the back on, and they flip you, and then they take the other off, and you lie on your back for a while. Well, I was in that for quite a while, and when I got out of that, and I was able to be in a regular bed, the therapist came up to my room, and they said, you can move your arms a bit. I had almost no movement in my hands, and very little in my arms. And they said, we're going to try to strengthen the muscles that you have in your arms. So they put weights in my fingers, 2 pounds, and they had to strap them in because I couldn't hold them. As you can see, this hand is still very paralyzed. They strapped these 2 pound weights in my hands, and as I laid in bed, I tried to lift them to strengthen my arms. But I was so weak that if I even got them up, usually I hit myself in the face with these weights. And as you can imagine, it was very frustrating. My arms began to get stronger, and so before I was released from the hospital, they would take me down to therapy on a cart, put me on a mat, and there they worked in teaching me to roll over, to try to turn over. And, you know, I can still remember the first time that I was able to turn over by myself. You know, that was a great day for me. If you've ever been so helpless that you can't even turn over in bed, you'll understand what that was like. There's something terrible about having to lie the way they put you. That's the way you lie. You can't move. And you lie there until they come and they move you to your other side. And that's what it was like before I could roll over by myself. Well, they worked with my arms, and my arms got quite a bit stronger, and so they called Larry in, and they said, you can take your wife home now. We've done for her about what we feel can be done. But they said, we feel that you should know what you're up against. So they said, first, a gynecologist, the head of our gynecology department, has examined her, and she will never have children, according to this doctor. They said, because of severe kidney infections, pressure sores, and a partial paralysis in my lungs, I'm very susceptible to respiratory ailments. They said, because of these problems, her life expectancy now is about 5 to 7 years. They said, she will never sit up and take care of herself. If she sits up, it will be just for short periods at a time. They said, she will spend most of her life in bed, what she has left, and you will take care of her like a baby until she dies. So Larry took me home. Well, I'm sure you can imagine what it was like for us. Larry was, as I said, was only 19 years old, and this is what he had to look forward to, taking care of me like a baby until I died. Well, I'll tell you, those months that passed were months of bitterness and frustration. I remember pleading with the Lord to take me home. I wanted to die. You've no idea how badly I wanted to die. and I asked the Lord to take me. I planned ways to take my own life. But you know, I thank God that I had neither the ability nor the courage to carry it through. And God's hand was on me. He was protecting me, and I didn't know it. Now, I'm sure you're wondering, I think you've gotten the idea that I knew the Lord. I did. I accepted the Lord as my Savior when I was very young. I was raised in a Christian home. I had learned very early that Jesus Christ had come as the Son of God to die for our sins, and that if we accept Him, we can have forgiveness of those sins. And I had accepted Him, and Larry had too. Now, you may be wondering, why then did you go through such a time of bitterness and frustration? Well, you know, there's something that can happen to people who know the Lord, and it's something that creeps up on you, and it's habit. You know, you serve the Lord, you go to church, you read your Bible, you pray, but it's all habit. It becomes a matter of habit. When you read your Bible, do you really commune with the Lord? You know, even now I find myself slipping back into that, of having a time with the Lord, reading my Bible, and I don't really talk to the Lord, and I don't really listen to Him. I just read the Scripture because I'm going to read that part for the day. And you know, it's awfully important to keep that real communion with the Lord, a real personal fellowship open. Do you know, when something happens like this, the minister can come and he can quote Romans 8:28 to you. You know, it says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But do you know, if you aren't living that day by day for all the small things and trusting every day for all the little things that happen, that doesn't mean much to you. When something big happens, you aren't ready. And this is what happened to Larry and I. We had lost the real communion with the Lord somewhere along the way. And when this happened, it really put us under. And you know, it takes a long time, too, for people to admit that they can't handle something. You know, we always basically down deep think that we can handle it. And sometimes we have to come to the point where we find out we can't. And we have to say, Lord, I can't do a thing. Please help me. Well, I thank God we had friends who loved us and who prayed for us. And especially one friend especially kept us in her prayer life all the time. And she kept watching us to see what was happening. Well, God gave my husband a wisdom that was far beyond his years. And I remember he came in one morning and he said, Vanita, he said, the therapists work with you in the hospital and your arms are strong. And he said, I believe that you can pull yourself into the wheelchair by yourself if you want to and if you care enough. And in the hospital, at one time, they had put a board between the bed and my chair, and I had pulled myself along that board until I got in the wheelchair. Well, the wheelchair I had a back that slanted back because I couldn't sit up. I have no back muscles. At that time, I had none, and I would just go over on the floor if I tried to sit up. So he told me, he said, I believe that you can do it. And he said, I'll tell you, I am going to give you to the count of 10 to try. And he meant it too. And he said, if you don't try, I'm going to go downtown and eat my breakfast alone. He said, I don't have to stay here with you if you won't even try. You know, that sounds rough, doesn't it? That sounds kind of cruel because I was completely helpless. But you know, God knew what I needed, and that was what I needed. And so Larry, this is what he said, and you know, I tried, because I didn't want to be left all alone, and I could tell he meant it. And I got out into my wheelchair. Well, the minute I got into the wheelchair, I passed out because of the pain and the weakness, and I wasn't used to sitting up. And so Larry wasn't about to let me go back to bed. So he tipped the chair back toward the floor until I came to. And then he set me up. Well, I immediately passed out again. So he tipped the chair back toward the floor until I came to. Well, we did that morning after morning after morning. And finally, I was able to sit up for 3 or 4 hours at a time without getting so weary that I had to lie down. Well, this dear friend who was watching us, she said, now you can go to church with me. Because now I could sit through a church service. So we went with her to church. And you know, that day was the turning point in our lives. Because we got back into Christian fellowship. You know, that's awfully important. To have people who care about you, who are praying for you, who love you. But the most important of all was we got back into fellowship with God. As we began to get into God's Word, and under the preaching of God's Word, we got back the communion with God. The real communion, and things began to change. Well, we hadn't been attending the church very long when we found out that we were expecting a child. Well, I'm sure you can imagine what a shock this was to us. And I immediately began to worry. Because I thought, how will I ever take care of a child? At that time, I was able to do light housework. But I thought, how will I ever take care of a child? Well, my mother has a faith in God that's beautiful. And she told me babies are a gift from God. The Bible says so. And she said, if God gives you a baby, He will give you the means to take care of that baby. Well, my little girl, Lori Catherine, was born February of 1966. She's 10 years old now. I remember the day that she was born. I was wondering if I would feel labor pains, what it would be like, you know. And the night before I had been into the doctor, he examined me and he told me, he said, it'll be at least 4 more weeks. And so, as you can imagine, I was a little disappointed because I was 2 weeks from my due date, you know, and I was kind of getting anxious. And he said, 4 more weeks. So the next evening, Larry came home from school, and we sat down to have a cup of coffee. And all of a sudden, I felt just kind of a little flutter, you know. And I told Larry, I said, I feel this funny little flutter. And so he said, you time them how often, you know, he was joking, how often are they? So we timed them, they were every 3 minutes. So very quickly, they were every 55 seconds. And Larry began to get a little nervous, you know. And I said, but honey, the doctor said 4 more weeks. You know, he just examined me. And he said, well, could we call anyway, you know, talk to the doctor? Well, the first time I was so embarrassed, I hung the phone up before they answered. And the second time, I talked to the doctor, and the doctor laughed. And he said, oh, he said, hey, it's nothing. But he said, you come on in. He told this to Larry. He said, you come up, bring her on in, and I'll examine her. And he said, it'll relieve your mind. So Larry got me to the hospital, and 10 minutes after we arrived there, we had a little baby girl. And Larry always said it did relieve his mind, too. Well, when Laurie was 18 months... Oh, I'm skipping part of it. I took this little baby home, and the ladies here will know what Velcro is, don't you know? The sticky stuff, you know, you sew on things that sticks together. I sewed Velcro on diapers so that I could just stick the sides of the diapers to each other because I couldn't do diaper pins. My fingers were much too weak. But I took this baby home, and Larry had a bassinet. He cut the side out of it and made a little net gate that I could put down. And that's how I slid the baby in and out of the bassinet. He made a board, a table, that fits right on my chair. The reason I don't use my arms is because this table fits right in where the arms are supposed to go. It has little legs on it. And that's where I diapered her and dressed her. So I could slide her out of the bassinet onto my board and take care of her. Well, Lori was the kind of baby that she would lie happily for hours as long as I was paying attention to her. And so I would work and dress her and diaper her. And I can remember the first time I dressed her completely, it took me almost 2 hours. It was extremely hard. But as I said, she was the happiest baby and would lie completely still as long as Mommy was fussing over her and paying attention to her. Well, I worked and worked with this baby, and I loved every minute of it. When she was 8 months old, the doctors wrote me, and they said, would you come back to the medical center for a time of evaluation? We want to see how you're coming along, how you're adjusting mentally, how you're adjusting physically to your problem. So I went back, and 3 doctors examined me when I went in. And I remember that 2 doctors kept saying, oh, but she can't do that. And they finally decided they had read my charts wrong. And one of the other doctors, he would say, but you can see she's doing it, you know. And so when they left, he stayed with me. And I never got to talk to him after this, and I've often wished that I could have, because he looked at me and he said, "Do you know, God gave you an exercise of love in that baby." He said, "We can tell people to squeeze on rubber balls and to pull pulleys, but they can't do it because it takes a lot of discipline." And I knew what he was talking about because I had been given those exercises and I couldn't keep them up. It was too much discipline, and when you can't see any results, it's frustrating and it's heartbreaking. But he said, "God gave you an exercise that you love to do and that you did all day long, and you never realized how hard you were working." And that's what God had done. My fingers had gotten so much stronger. As you can see, my right hand is very strong. My arms are strong. I can, at the time when I went back to the hospital, I could out Indian wrestle all the physical therapists. And my back had gotten strong from lifting this little baby as she grew day by day by day. And as you see now, I can sit upright in a chair. I still have to hold my hand down here, you'll notice, because my back is not strong enough. I begin to go over frontwards, so I keep the hand down here to keep myself up, but I'm much, much stronger. Well, I always thank God for that doctor. You know, sometimes other people have to point out to us what God has done for us. You know that? We don't really realize it ourselves. When Lori was 18 months, we moved to Colorado Springs. Larry got a job teaching out at Emerson Junior High. He's teaching Spanish. This was his major. We found a church home here in Colorado Springs, and just a short time after we began to attend that church, we again found out that we were expecting a child. And Larry always says that's when we decided to quit changing churches. This one was a little boy, Stephen Edward. He was born in April of 1968, so he's 8 years old now. Well, you know, in physical therapy, when the therapist began to work with you, say you have your wrist muscle is extremely weak and all you can do is just barely move it. First, the physical therapist just take you through what they call the range of motion. Just moving that muscle in its range of motion. But then when it gets stronger, they put resistance against that muscle so that you have to work even stronger and gain more strength in that muscle. Well, you know, God is wiser than them all. And for him, Lori was my range of motion, but Stephen was resistance. I can remember just to hold him on my board to dress him took every muscle I already had. But so you see how much stronger I got with him. Well, when Stephen was about 8 months old, I was looking in our church magazine one day, and there was a tiny little paragraph in there that said the missionaries in Venezuela, South America, needed a handyman to come down for 9 months to help finish up a brand new seminary, the first Latin American seminary. And I thought, oh, wouldn't Larry love to do that? Spanish was his major. He loved Latin American countries, and he wanted to travel very badly in them. He thought it would help his teaching abilities. But I thought, In the first place, they wanted someone from January through September to September, and Larry would only have the summer free as a teacher. And a wheelchair, I couldn't imagine a mission board that would accept anyone in a wheelchair. And we had a tiny baby, too, to take to a foreign country. And so I put the article away, and I thought, I hope Larry doesn't see it, because it would make him feel kind of sad, you know, that he couldn't go. Well, not very many days after that, Larry came into the kitchen, and he had this magazine. And he said, "Vanita, have you seen this article?" And I said, "Yes, I have." And he said, "You don't know what article I'm talking about." And I said, "Yes, I do." And I told him, "It's that little article about Venezuela, isn't it?" And he said, "Yes, it is." He said, "Do you think we could go?" And so I told, you know, wife-like, I told him all the good reasons why we couldn't possibly go. The 9 months, the baby, the wheelchair. But he had no peace about it. And you know, when you don't have peace about something, you better start praying and ask God what he wants you to do. And that's what we did. And so Larry said one day, "Can we call to Minneapolis and see? And they can tell us no, and then we can forget it." So I thought, yes, that's the best thing to do. So we called, and they said, "Well, we have a man who's going down in January, but he has to come back in June. And we need someone for the summer." And they said, "The wheelchair is no problem to us." So they said, "Can we count on you?" And Larry said, yes, you can. Then he put the phone down and he said, oh my, you know, what have we done? We would have to pay our own way to Venezuela, our own trip down there. And as you can imagine, with hospital bills and baby bills, we didn't have a lot of money. And so we prayed about it, we talked about it, we decided it was God's will, that God would take care of us. So Larry said people borrow money to redecorate their homes, they borrow money to take trips for pleasure. He said, we'll borrow money if we have to. Well, our church asked us if we would have a night to give our testimonies. And so we said, yes, we would. And I remember Laurie Hopkins was the one that sang on this side. Her husband was our Sunday school teacher. And he got up that night to introduce us, and he said, I've asked the Lord for $1,000 tonight to help Larry and Vanita go to Venezuela. And that's about what the tickets were. Well, you know, at that time, our church membership was probably about 90. There weren't very many people. And I thought, $1,000? You know, I was really embarrassed for him. I'll be honest with you. I kind of wanted to, if I could have crawled, I would like to crawl into the pew. You know, I was really embarrassed. But you know, the Lord needed to teach me something about faith. Because we gave our testimonies, and they took up an offering for us. And we went downstairs for a coffee time. And they counted the money. And then people had put in little papers saying, I don't have the money with me tonight, but this is what I want to give. And they counted that, and it came to $999. And one of the men that had been down there fixing the coffee pulled a dollar out of his billfold, and he said, this is the thousand. He said, go to Venezuela. Well, we went down for a summer, and Larry fell in love with the country. And so when we came back, we received a call to go back full-time as missionaries to Venezuela. So that's where we have been for the last 4 years, serving the Lord in Venezuela. And we love every minute of it. And when we were down there, how much time should I?
5 minutes.
Oh. I want to tell you about another little blessing God had for us in Venezuela. You know, well, first I'll tell, one of the reasons I think God sent a wheelchair to Venezuela, this might be, it's to me is overwhelming that a mission board would send someone in a wheelchair. But you know, as we have been down there, the Latin Americans hold marriage very, very lightly. And as we have been down there, we have seen how God has been able to use a wheelchair in a way that he couldn't have used me if I hadn't been in a wheelchair. Because the Latin men, they might have a wife, or they might not have even married her, or they may have several concubines besides their wife. And if they get tired of the wife, they just leave her. They don't need any other reason than that, really. And so for the men in the church to see Larry and to hear what he had done was unbelievable to them. And so many times I gave my testimony, and I told them about the scripture that Jesus says that the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church so that he gave his life for it. And you know, this is what Larry did for me. Because he had brothers who told him, they said, Larry, put her in a rest home where they can take care of her and live your own life. You see, but Larry said, no, Vanita is my life. And he had that love that Christ said that the husband is to have for the wife. Do you know, if I think so much about liberated women, but you know, if we would really follow what the Bible says, we would be the most liberated women in all the world. As Marina said, I am one of the most liberated women, and one reason is because of the relationship I have with my husband. I love him with all my heart, you know, and I believe that God led him to me, that this was God's choice for me. Well, when we were down there, I had the flu once, I thought. I was very, very sick, and so I went to the doctor, and the doctor told us that we were going to have another child. And Larry felt that our children should be the first to know. So we took them up into the rainforest, and we told them that we were going to have a baby. And you never saw two more excited and happy children in their lives. They jumped up and down, they cried, they laughed. And the little girl told us, she was 9 at that time, she said, oh, Mama, she said, we prayed and we prayed, and I found out those children had been praying since language school. 3 years. They had been praying for a baby. And she said, but Mama, we almost gave up. You're so old. So now we have another little one, and he is just a year old. God has been so good to me. I can't tell you what a full and rich life I have. I try to express to you, and I hope you can see what I have because of Jesus Christ. And I have people that say to me, well, you know, oh, you're so brave, or you've done so much. And I think, do you know, I've been on the bottom. I know what it's like to be completely helpless. I know what it's like to find out that I can't do anything. So I'm not brave, and I'm not courageous. I was on the bottom. I was so far down that there was only one way out, and that was God. That was Jesus Christ. And you know, we all have problems, all of us. Mine is very visible. Everyone can see my problem. But you may have one that others can't see, an unhappiness inside, something that really troubles you, and others can't sympathize with you, they can't see. But you know, Jesus Christ sees. And if you will just let him take that problem, he can completely change it. I promise you, it's happened to me. Thank you.
Feel that God has spoken to all of our hearts this morning afresh. Benita would be happy to speak to you personally. Others would too, if there'd be any way that we could be of assistance. Because we echo what she said, that many have problems that perhaps are not as visible, and yet they're just as real. And the answer is Jesus Christ. And we do believe with all our hearts that when he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So if you're resisting him, if you're not responding, and who of us this morning, after having heard her testimony, would say, Benita would have been a fool to have rejected the love of her husband. But aren't we fools to reject the love of Jesus Christ, who, having loved us before eternity and until now, loves us continually? And who can say no to that kind of love? Shall we pray? Our Father, we believe you are here in a very special way this morning. We just thank you afresh for the grace that has been magnified through this dear woman and her husband and her dear children. We have seen the evidence of the reality of God in so many ways, day by day, and to hear her express the way you have brought them thus far. And we thank you, Father, for all that you've done for them and for the way that you're using them in Venezuela. And as they go back to a very important spot there, we just ask, Father, that you would go before them and open up new doors. And with the literally thousands there in the city of Caracas who do not know Jesus Christ and to whom they've been sent to minister, we pray that you will multiply the effectiveness of these lives and use them mightily there for your glory. And we pray out of this group this morning, Father, that you would raise up people who will support them in prayer and financially if you lay it upon their hearts. You know the heavy living expenses there and the need for finances. So again, our Father, we're just asking that you would do a special thing in their behalf. We thank you again for every person who has come here today and pray that no one would go away with needs unmet, but there would be an honesty and an openness to you and a recognition of need that only you can meet. And again, our Father, we thank you for all these things in the name and for the sake of our dear Savior. Amen.
And suddenly his little girl sat up very straight and she said, "Har humph." And my friend looked and didn't say anything. And then pretty soon they went along a little further and she sat up again straighter and said a little louder, "Har humph." And finally, my friend looked at his little girl and he said, "Har humph? What is har humph?" And she said, "Well, when I read a book and somebody wants to get somebody else's attention, they say, har humph." He said it was the first time he had ever realized that clearing one's throat in print is spelled har humph. This morning, I rather imagine that God has said to some of you, har humph. I want to get your attention. Christmas, many years ago, the angels sang that this day a Savior is born. And sometime in your heart, God wants to know whether the Savior is born there in your heart. Some of us have found that one of the most valuable ways of really knowing God in a personal way, of finding out how he lives within our hearts and how practical he wants to be in our lives, the kind of spiritual riches that he wants to give us, is through a small group Bible study. One woman who has found this very effective in how God has worked in her life is Carol Korth. And I'm going to ask Carol to just come up and take just a couple of minutes and tell you her story of how God showed her in a very wonderful way truths about himself through a small group Bible study.
Carol Korth.
You know, as I was coming here today, I got here around 10, so I wasn't here at the beginning of everything. But as I drove out... And every time I come out here, I marvel at the beauty of Glen Eyrie. And I remember the first time we came, it was night, and we drove in this little winding road. We kept wanting to take the wrong turns. Finally, we ended up at the castle. And when we drove up, we just kind of went, wow, because the lights were on. And really, we missed half of the beauty that you see from the day. But still, it was really neat for us. And our first impression was that, you know, wow, we really want to see this castle, get a tour, and find out what it's all about. Well, through Palmer's Castle, we came to know Glen Eyrie, the navigators, and our Bible study. It worked in kind of a roundabout way, but we're very thankful for the way it did happen and it did work. I'd like to share with you some of the benefits, the joys, that my husband Dennis and I have received from the Bible study. The first and most important thing was that we accepted Christ as our Savior. We've been in the studies about a year and a half now, and through accepting Christ, our lives have grown so much in joy and happiness. We learned through the studies that it's really an important part if you can have a quiet time each day, and if you can wake up in the morning, get ready, and then set a time apart, 10 or 15 minutes, if that's all the time you have, that's great, even 5. And just sit down and talk to God in prayer and read his word in the Bible. So we started doing this, and it took us a while. I mean, like, not after the first couple of weeks of the Bible study, but it took us a while, and we started having our quiet time. And we found what a wonderful way it was to begin each day before going to work and facing the world out there. So we talked to God in our prayers. We asked him to be with us that day to bless us. And we thanked him for all the blessings that he had given us and all the things that he had done for us, and to reach others also as we've been reached. Well, through the Bible studies, not only has our Christian life grown and mature, but our marriage has really grown also. We had a pretty good marriage to begin with, but I wouldn't want to go back to a pretty good marriage now. We've got a much more blessed marriage. We really realize how much we need each other. I think you kind of tend to feel like, well, I really need Dennis. I hope he's there to meet me. But it's the other way around, too. I need to fulfill Dennis's needs and be there when he needs me. And in a world today that's very hectic, our schedules are super busy, You need to realize that you need each other, and the two of you need to have a relationship that's close and warm to combat all these difficulties that are bombarding you every day. We found that we've grown in this Bible study, and one example I'd like to give to you and share with you is that Dennis had a habit when we were first married, and it was a habit, of when he would work on his motorcycles, which are his pride and joy, he'd get frustrated because not all the parts and nuts and bolts went together right. So as he'd be working on them, I could see the frustrations build, and all of a sudden these words would pop out of his mouth, and they weren't too neat of words, and I'd usually get mad and end up leaving him. Well, through the Bible study, I can say that in the past 6 to 8 months, Dennis hasn't said these words, and he still has problems with his motorcycles, believe me. In fact, one time, not too long ago, I was out in the garage, and he was working on the motorcycle, and I could see this frustration building, and I could tell it wasn't going right. Well, all of a sudden, he hit his finger, and that did it. And I looked at him, and I was standing there purposely because I wanted to see his reaction, which maybe wasn't too nice, but I wanted to see what he'd do. And he looked at me, and I could tell he was mad, but there was a sparkle in his eye, and he said, "Praise the Lord." So after that, we both started laughing and broke the ice. And that was the beginning of something that I can really witness as a change to Dennis's life. And he can really see it too. We just bought a home in August, and it was our first home. And Dennis's mom and dad were really helpful in helping us. Well, with moving, with painting, you have a lot of problems, a lot of frustrations in trying to get everything done. One day, Dennis's mom came to me and she said, "You know, Dennis has really changed, hasn't he?" And I go, "Yep." And she goes, "Isn't it neat?" And I go, "Yep." So I said, "You know, it would be neat is if you tell him, you know, as being his mom, say, 'Hey, Dan, I like the change of seeing you.'" And she did. And I don't think men express their feelings as much as us women, but this really had an impression on him when his mom said, "Wow, I like the change of seeing you, son." So it was a neat thing for her to witness and to experience and tell to him. Not only have we seen changes in our lives, but in our Bible study, we've watched the other couples grow too, which is neat, and it's really rewarding to see other people grow and mature in the love of God. As we look back on our lives, we've been married a little over 3 years, I can see points and references that weren't very, really important, but they were so important in building our lives and shaping us for where we are now and in our Bible study. We are now in a discipleship program also, and we hope someday to lead a Bible study and lead others like we've been led. And we're very curious to see what the future holds for us through this. In conclusion, I'd just like to say that Dennis and I praise the Lord for the curiosity of castles we had that night, because through that, we came to know Glenary, the Navigators, and our Bible study. Also, when we first came to the Bible studies, we had a void in our lives that something was missing. Plus, we didn't have very many friends in Colorado Springs. And you need friends to have a warm life. You need people to talk to visit with, to share your problems with, and to share your joy and happiness. So through the Bible study, that void, there was two of them, friendship and Christ. We found them both, and we're living proof of it. And I really encourage you, if you have any voids in your life, there's one person who can change it all. Thank you.